כל הלשון, כל התורה, בכל מקום.
Start Chumash Shemois. Chumash Shemois defined by the Ramban as Sefer HaGolos VaHaGeulo. It is the Sefer of exile and redemption. And usually when I start Chumash Shemois, I make a comment. Chumash Bereishis is all about individuals, the giants of yore. Starting with Odom HaRishon HaNoach, they were the general tzaddikim. Before Klal Yisrael, before Israel was born. And then we go over to the Oves HaKadoshim, Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, and that is when our story begins. Our story begins on Parshas Lech Lecha. And the climax and culmination of the Sefer is Yaakov Avinu and his 12 sons, and Yaakov benches his 12 children. So it is the story about individuals. Chumash Shemois is the story of a people. We were transformed from individuals to a nation in Chumash Shemois. In Golos Mitzrayim, the Pusik says, Lekachas goy mikerev goy. And then, the ultimate stage of becoming a people is Mamed Har Sinai, when we all stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, of Har Sinai, Begdimunas El Anishma. So the topic we will be discussing today is not a very lumdisha topic, but I think the beauty of our shir is the variety of different sugyas and different styles. So the shir today is not a very lumdisha shir like the ones we had in the past few weeks, but it is an extremely important shir for Jews and from Jews in the world over. Is it legitimate to use non-Jewish names? So my most dear friend, Chaim Alinsky, is sitting at my right. Many people listening to the Shia know him as Henry. Since day number one, Chaim made it clear to me, between me and you, I'm Chaim. And to me, he's Chaim. I know some amazing people, primarily my good friends in Chutzars, that use non-Jewish names. I know a Ralph and a Brian, and to me, there are Baruch and Raphael. So the topic we discuss today is Shaloshinu Shemam. And the Pasuk is the very first Pasuk in Chumash Shemois. Ve'ele Shemois b'nei Yisrael abo ha-Mitzrayimo. Es Yankov Ishu Beisabo. The Baal HaTurim writes, B'nei Shemois b'nei Yisrael ha-Bohem Rosh HaTevis Shivyo. And the remez is, even when we were Shivu'im, we were trapped. We were servants and slaves. Rosh HaTevis Shivyo. Eile Shemois B'nei Yisrael, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Loishinu Shemam. And the Baal HaTurim quotes the Medrash. B'zchus Shloisha Devorim Nig'alu Aviseinu Mimitzrayim, Shloishinu Shemam, Es Levusham Ve'es Lushonam. They kept their own identity, they kept their names, they kept their tongue, and they kept their dress. And that is why there was Zeichet to Geulas Mitzrayim. So we will be discussing today, is it a prohibition to use non-Jewish names? So, Tshuvas Maram Shik, Yoredei Samakuf Samachtes, writes, it's an Issa D'Uraisa, and he's very, very machmir. Following in the footsteps of the Maram Shik, we find his great Talmud, Sharshuvas Marshag, Reb Shimon Greenfeld, the Rav of Semihai in Hungary, a Talmud of the Maramshik, Chelik Beisem Akuf Tzadik Daled, following in his footsteps, the Tzafnes Paneach, the Rogachover, in his Shuvas Imereish Einhai, you cannot use non-Jewish names. However, the Rogachover has an interesting comment, and he says, a non-Jewish translation of a Jewish name is legitimate. So exactly, how do we define translations? So, this week a person came to me with a sefer, a choshev sefer, and he asked for a skoma. And what's your name? His name is Michael. A Talmud Chochem, asking for a skoma. And he tells me that he's, you know, he visits Williamsburg a lot and he interacts with Satmar Hasidim, and they think it's a real Yiddish name, Michael, Yankel. Same sound, Yankel, Michael. Some people confuse him with Yankel. So Michael, according to the Tzofen Spanech, would be illegitimate because it is Michael. Would Henry be a translation of Chaim? I don't know. You know, it's not the same. Michael is Michael. Would Brian be a translation of Borech? I don't think so. Who knows? Would Morris be a translation of Moshe? In this week's parashah, we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's difficult to define. But as I quoted, some Gedolim say, it is Mamish Nisa Diuraisa, Bechukoiseyem Lo Teilecho. Tshuvas Marasham Chedek Vovsem and Yud. That's a fascinating tshuva. So the Maram Shik argues, it is an Isra b'chukasayim lo italecho va'avdil eschem minhu amim. The Marsham has a different approach, a very interesting, a fascinating one. So the Marsham doesn't deal directly with the Shaila. Could a Jew use an un-Jewish name? He talks about a story, a woman donated a mantle for a Sefer Torah. A me'il of a Sefer Torah. And she wrote the posuk v'yatukis v'lachem esashiru azois. Like the minig is, some beautiful psukim from Torah's Moshe, but the dedication, she wrote a non-Jewish name in Latin letters. And the Masham was asked, is that legitimate to have a Sefer Torah on which the inscription is not a Jewish name and not Jewish letters? And the Masham comes up with a eitzah, with advice, which I don't think would make anyone happy. Not that those are pro or those that are against. And he says, there should be like a cover, like a flap, with a Jewish name to cover the non-Jewish name, and it should only be sewn to the me'il on top. That means you could lift it and see the original inscription, or drop it and see the Hebrew inscription. And why is that? So the Masham writes, anybody that uses non-Jewish names is an Aveda. What is the origin of this Aveda? And he comes up with an interesting svara. If Chazal say, we were zoichet to Geulas Mitzrayim because lo yishinu shemam, that means anybody using a non-Jewish name is ma'akev the Geula. If keeping your Jewish name hastens the Geula, then using a non-Jewish name would postpone the Geula. And it definitely would be an Aveda to be Ma'akev the Geula. That is an interesting way to see it, an interesting observation that we find in Shuvas Marsham 100 years ago, 130 years ago. He was the Poisek Ador, Chelek Vav Simen Yud. On the other hand, the Igres Moshe, Orachayim Chelek Dad Simen, Samach Vav says, no problem at all. And the Igres Moshe quotes many Gedolim throughout the ages that use non-Jewish names. Most notably, Tosfos in Gittin Daf Ches quotes Rabbeinu Peter. And those that even have a slight knowledge in history know that Peter is not a very Jewish name. He was one of the apostles of Oysa Yuish, and one of the Balei Tosfos was Rabbeinu Peter, and he corresponded with Rabbeinu Tam. So Rav Moshe says, how could this be an Aveda? I just want to add to the list the father of the Rama, Ramer Abulafia, who was one of the great Rishonim. His father's name was Todrus. That's a Roman name. The Magid Mishnah's name was Vidal. That's a Spanish name. The Sharamelech, one of the greatest Achronim, was Nunis Bolimanti. Bolimanti obviously is an Italian family name, but Nunis is also not a Jewish name. Many of the Rishonim had non-Jewish names, so Rav Moshe argues it's not a problem at all, and he makes an interesting comment with which I disagree. And he says, the importance of Shalosh Shinu as Shemam, Levusham, Velishonam is only up to Matan Torah. Because before we had mitzvahs, the only factor that gave a Jew his unique identity and separated him from his surroundings was external social effects. What language do you speak? What's your name? How do you dress? But after Matan Torah, what separates us and what puts us aside is Taryag Mitzvahs. They have 7 and we have 613. That is enough. to make us stand apart. Why do I disagree? Because there were so many Gzeiras Chachamim that were exactly to set us apart and to separate us. We should not mingle with them. That is why they asked Stam Yenam, you can't drink their wine. That is why they asked Pas Akum, you can't eat their bread. Chachamim asked the Jew to participate in a non-Jewish wedding. So obviously in the eyes of Chazal, Taryag Mitzvahs are not enough. And Chazal, with their ultimate wisdom and understanding of human nature, the mitzvahs you have are important. But we need some things on the social level. As people interacting with an alien society, this is about your social life and not about the mitzvahs. Yeah, you go to shul in the morning, you put on tefillin, you daven, you mekayim shliach haken, you say kriya shema shachar zvaharves, shabbos yav kedusha v'avdol. That is not enough. On the social level, so Chazal were metaken, you can't eat their bread and you can't drink their wine and you can't go to their simchas. So I do think Shaloshinu is important throughout the ages, and not only for the Dor HaMidbar. But on the other hand, Rav Moshe argues, so many Gedolim had non-Jewish names, and I want to add on, not only B'yamei Rishonim, Amirom and Tanoim. One of the very first Zugois, in the very beginning of the period of the great Tanoim Chachma HaMishnah, was Antigenos Ish Socho, mentioned in the beginning of Masechet Avos. One of the greatest and earliest Tanoim, Antigonos is a Greek name. Rabbi Alexander is found both in Bavli and in Yerushalmi. And Alexander is a Greek name. One of the great Amiroim. Do you remember the halacha Moitzi Mechaveri Olavaraya? Sumchus says, Momen Amut L'Basafek Chalkim. Sumchus is a Roman name. These were Tanoim and Amiron, and they had non-Jewish names. The most disturbing name we find three times in Yerushalmi, Perigim Masechet Brochas, Perichest Masechet Trumas, and in Masechet Nozia. Three times in Yerushalmi we find Reb Titos, and that is disturbing because Titos is not only a Roman name, but it's a Gemara Mefereshes in Yomei Daf Lamed Ches, you cannot give a name after an evil person. And very few people deserved that description and that title more than Titus, who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. So how could you give Jewish people, Jewish children, a name? Titus. Rabbi Yosef Engel in Gilyon HaShas in Masechet Brochas writes, no, this cannot be, and it needs to be Antigonos and not Titus. But it's very unlikely that three different sources in Yerushalmi, Antigonus became confused with Titus. If it would be one source, that would be reasonable, not if we find the three different sources. So, you know, there are different versions in Yerushalmi. Tfus Venezia, Tfus Vilna, now we have Oiz Vahodor, and in some of them it is Titas without the Vav. Maybe it's a different name, Titas and Titos. Titus, I don't know. I don't know exactly how the Roman pronunciation of this name was. But another explanation would be, probably Titus was a very common name under the Roman Empire, and maybe there were millions of people named Titus. One of them was an awful Russia, but maybe there were a zillion other Tituses who were decent, righteous people. And many Jews were called Titus, maybe even before Churban Beis Hamikdash. So, no Jew gave a name after Titus HaRosh. And that brings me to an argument, you know, against Reb Moshe. I think when a name becomes widely accepted bekerav Beis Yisrael, it is no longer defined as a non-Jewish name. So there are different levels of Jewish names. There are names that we find in Torah, Nevi'im, V'ksuvim. Those are the most beautiful names. Those are names that have profound remozim. Every letter has a numerical value, and every Jewish name has limitless interpretations and depth, but there are many Jewish names that aren't Hebrew names at all. You know, my late wife's name was Pesia. My mother's name was Fradel. These are definitely Jewish names, but they're not Hebrew names. So there would be no difference between Alexander and Fradel once Alexander is firmly established in the Jewish community. It ceases to be a non-Jewish name. I didn't do research, and I have no reason to do research, but I would just guess that more Jewish children are named Alexander maybe than Greek children. Alexander today is Mamish Yiddish a name. Alexander has morphed into Sender. Probably everybody listening to me knows one or two Senders. So Alexander would no longer be called and defined as an un-Jewish name, and maybe the same would go to Tudorus and to Vidal and many other, or Antigonus. Who knows? How could we know going back hundreds or thousands of years? Seder HaDoides is considered a very reliable historical source. And the Seder HaDoides, it's an encyclopedic structure. And on Shimon HaTzadik, he shares an amazing Mesoides that has no other source. So Masechet Yuma, we learn the story of Alexander. Alexander the Great, who was one of the biggest conquerors in history. And the Gemara tells the story of Masechet Yuma. He wanted to conquer Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash and the Kutiyim, who were the arch rivals of the Prushim, of the Rabbonim, our predecessors. They cooperated with Alexander and urged him and encouraged him to fight the Jews. And he is marching towards Yerushalayim, sitting in his chariot, accompanied by the Kutim. And Shimon HaTzadik goes to be Makabel upon him. And he's dressed up in Bigdei Kahuna of a Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara asks, what permission did you have to wear Bigdei Kahuna leaving Yerushalayim, leaving the Beis HaMikdash? And the Gemara says, Eis la'aseh l'shem eferus erosecho. I recently, about a few months ago, said a shir about the concept of Aveda Lishma, and I discussed this sugya at length, but it's not what we're talking about today. Alexander sees Shimon HaTzadik from the distance. He goes out of his chariot and he bows down, and the Kutim are furious and they ask, what are you doing? We've come to fight these people. Why do you give them such tremendous honor? And Alexander says, whenever I am victorious in battle, I see the face of this person, and in his merit I am victorious. This is my hero. That's the story as told in Bavli Masechet Yuma. Now the Seder HaDoides writes stage number two of this amazing story. Alexander agreed with Shimon HaTzadik to leave Yerushalayim at peace, but he has a condition. I want my statue placed in the Beis HaMikdash, because the Greeks were very much into art and into statues. And the statues of Alexander adorned many palaces, and he demanded, I want my bust, my statue in the Beis HaMikdash. Shimon HaTzadik apologized and he says, it is impossible, in no way, because to us that's a sin. Shimon HaTzadik suggested, in honor of Alexander, that every Jewish boy that will be born in the next year will be named Alexander. And that was a counter offer, and Alexander was happy, and that was their agreement. So tens of thousands of Jewish children were named after Alexander. And this story is troubling, because I said maybe there were a million Titoses, and if there was an Amora named Titos, it wasn't after Titos HaRosha, it was after his grandfather, who was a big tzaddik, and his name was Titos as well. But according to Seder HaDoides, thousands of Jewish parents, fathers and mothers, gave their name Alexander after Alexander the Great. I assume he was not one of the great tzaddikim. He was a conqueror. Tens of thousands of people died by his sword. For what? Just for power and for conquest? For what? So probably he was a Rosh. So how do we name Jewish children after a Rosh? So one must assume this too would be part of the Eis La'aseis Hashem Aferos Darosecho. Shimon HaTzadik needed to come up with some offer. What could we do in your honor? Putting a pesel into the Beis HaMikdash is a terrible transgression. So he suggested, yes, we will give your name. And that is Eis La'aseis Hashem Aferos Darosecho. So once again, is it legitimate to have non-Jewish names? Some Gedolim say no. Reb Moshe says yes. Throughout the ages, we find Tanoim, Ameroim, Gedolei Yisrael that had non-Jewish names. And whatever interpretation I might give would seem unlikely. The two most important sources are Tshuvos Marashdam. The Marashdam was one of the greatest poskim going back more than 500 years. Tshuvos Marashdam and Tshuvos Maharit Tzahalon. These are the two earliest sources and therefore the most important sources. And their Tshuvos were written to Jews that fled Spain. And they were written in the aftermath of the Inquisition. Not long ago, I visited Spain with a group of American Balabatim, and all the shiurim I gave were about that horrendous period of our history. So when the Spaniards and then the Portuguese a few years later decreed that Jews must convert to Christianity or leave the country, there were three different groups. Many Jews, lecher poseinu, converted to Christianity. And they saw themselves as Christians. Hundreds of thousands left all their possessions, their homes, their monies, their parnassas, left everything behind, and they went into Golus. Tens of thousands converted lemar'it ayin, and they were called the Maranos. Maranos in Spanish is pigs. And Bechadre Chadorim, they continued to be devoted and dedicated in. So many of those that converted Lefonim, and they just waited for an opportunity to leave Spain and to salvage some of their monies, most of them to salvage their families. So they converted Lemar'it Ayin, and then they asked these two Gedolim, as we find in Tshuvos Maharashdam and Maharit Tzahalon. It is Tshuvos Maharashdam, Yoredei Semakuf Tzalik Tes, Maharit Tzahalon, Hachadoshei Tzcherek Beis Semakuf Nunches. And they ask the Gedolim, we have acquaintances and partners that we deal with, and they know us by our Christian names. Are we allowed to use those names in our correspondence with them? And both the Marashdam and Maharit Tzahalon says, you have no problem at all using your non-Jewish names. And that goes contrary to the tshuva in Maharam Shik. My feeling is that this depends on the spirit of the times and the motive. Why do Jews want to use non-Jewish names? The Maharam Shik, as one of the greatest Talmidim of Sim Sofer, stood at the forefront of the struggle between the Orthodox and the Reformists and the Maskilim, the modern movements. And many Reform Jews of that period really changed their names because they wanted really to change their identity and move away from their Mesoides, from their tradition. And that was a huge struggle. And that is when the Gedolim of Hungary established the Orthodoxy. I think defining from Jews as Orthodox That's the origin. That was the first time in history that from Jews, God-fearing Jews, Medaktika Memitzis, defined themselves as Orthodox. So what the Maramshik was dealing with is Jews trying to veer away from their Messiah, and the reason they took non-Jewish names is because they really didn't like their Yiddishkeit and their being Jewish. And therefore the Maram Shik and other Gedolim need to make a stand and a statement. In the days of the Marajdam and his predecessors 400 years earlier, those were Jews of Mesirus Nefesh. They left everything with tremendous Mesirus Nefesh. It was not that they didn't want to be Jews. It was just out of necessity, different time, different spirit, different circumstances, and therefore different halach. That is my feeling. Now I want to share with you an interesting observation about two great Gedolei Yisrael that had nothing to do with the Inquisition, and even in their tshuvos and their sforim they use non-Jewish names, and that is somewhat surprising. So even if we say it's okay, it's mutar, but why would a Gedolei Yisrael use a non-Jewish name? And the two personalities I am referring to is Reb Taya Weil. He was the son of the Korban Asanel, whose name was Reb Nesanel Weil, and his Jewish name was Yedidya Weil, but we have Shalosh Yetshuvos Rebbe Tio Weil. So why would he use a non-Jewish name when he has a beautiful Jewish name? And the other is Rabbeinu Abdallah Somech, who was one of the great Sephardi Gedolim, and his sefer is called Zivchei Tzedek. He was the Rebbe of the Ben Ish Chai of Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, was his Talmud Muvak. And his name, as he signed, his name was Abdallah Somech. Why would he use a Muslim Arabic name? Until it dawned upon me, his name was Ovadia, and his name was Yedidia, and they were Choshesh of Moitzi Shem Shemayim Levatola. These two names include Shem Hashem, Ovadia and Yedidia. Meikar Adin, I don't think it's a problem at all. We all know about Reb Ovadia Yosef. He used the name Ovadia. One of my most precious Talmidim is his grandson, a dynamite basin, Ovadia Yosef Tolidano. I don't think it's a problem. I know some wonderful Bnei Torah called Yedidia, but they were Machmir. That is my feeling. And therefore, Theo is Elokus, is deity. Theology, theocracy. So Theo in Spanish is Elokus, and Phil is love. His name was Theophil, which means a lover of Hashem. That is the translation of Yedidia, Yedid Hashem. Abdallah is a Eved, the servant of Allah. So they preferred using the non-Jewish version of those very same names to steer clear from the chashash of Moitzi Shem Shemayim Levatona. That is my feeling. And I already mentioned the beginning of the Shiva that Safran Smaneach writes, when you use the non-Jewish version, which is only a translation of a beautiful Jewish name, that definitely is legitimate. So Theophil is the translation of Yedidia, and Abdallah is the exact translation of Ovadia, Oved Hashem, Eved Allah, and that is why these Gedolim preferred to use their non-Jewish name, and that is an interesting thought to think about. Now, saying what I just said, that it all depends on the motivation, the rationale, why would a Jew want to use a non-Jewish name, and that is the difference between the tshuvos of the Marashdam 500 years ago and the tshuvos of the Maram Shik 150 years ago. So maybe when Chazal say, Shaloshinu Hashemam את לישונם ואת מלבושם ואת לבושם, the kapeda is only changing all the three. And that is exactly what was happening in the days of the Mamshik. They dressed like Goyim, they spoke like Goyim, they used non-Jewish names. That is an Isser. But so many of the wonderful people I know, the Bryans and the Michaels and the Ralphs and the Henrys, are the most beautiful Jews. Many of them wear their tzitzis outside, their tcheles, and their big black yarmulkes, and it's quite obvious where they stand. It's quite obvious how they behave and what they believe in. And therefore, for any reason, they want to use young non-Jewish names because it's easier for their non-Jewish friends to pronounce. So how would a non-Jew pronounce, some complicated Jewish names like, Mechtche or Yechtche or even Chaim? Some of them have difficulty with pronouncing a chet. And for any reason, if it's not about erasing your Jewish identity, then I think it would be totally legitimate, like Moshe Feinstein argues, and as we see in the most important two sources, which are the great Rishonim, the Marashdam and Maharit Tzahal. Having said whatever I said, I definitely think it's preferable to use your proper Jewish name. So the Samsoi from Al HaTorah Parshas Korach has an interesting comment. The very first posik, V'yikach Korach, Rashi writes, Lokach Mekach Ro La'atzmo. And the Samsoi says an interesting pshat. What was the Mekach Ro? His very name. Because Korach was one of Alufei Esav. And using a non-Jewish name has a bad influence on your neshama, on your kedusha. Bnei Sosro, Chodesh Nisan, has an interesting comment on this week's parsha. Mialdas of Ibrios, Shifra and Pu'o, Rashi writes they were Miriam and Yecheved. So who gave them the names Shifra and Pu'o? So the Bnei Sosro has an interesting comment, and he says, Pare probably had an advisor for Haredi affairs. Every politician has somebody that advises him about the Haredi mentality in Israel, and probably in New York as well. I knew one of the assistants of the governor of New York, who was a wonderful young Ben Torah. So Pare was told, as long as these midwives call themselves Miriam and Yocheved, it's a lost cause. They will never hurt a Jewish baby. Give them Egyptian names, and maybe somehow they will fulfill your wish and your command. And that's why Pare gave them Egyptian names, which is Shufran Pua. So both Chasam Sofer and the Bnei Sosro say, using a non-Jewish name would have some influence and would tarnish or diminish your Kiddusha. So even though Al-Pi Aloch it's Mutar, and I would still argue both these sources deal with people who their Ikar Shem, their main name, the way they saw themselves and their families related to them was a non-Jewish name, which reflects a certain non-Jewish identity. Might be different, a person that is Chaim, and he's Rafon, and he's Boruch, and he's Mechoel, in his shul with his friends, in his family eyes, with his children, when he's Oile LaTorah, for some reason, with some circles he interacts with, he prefers having a non-Jewish name, that probably would not be a Kpeda. Nevertheless, the way I relate to my friends is with their Jewish names. That is the best way for us to relate to each other. Shem Shenosnu Lo Avoisav, following in the tradition of thousands of years of Jewish names since the very earliest of Avraham Avinu and from him on. So Baruch Hashem, the new Sefer, the new edition of Minchaso Shel Al HaTorah, which means so much to me in Baruch Hashem, what a schus, So, because not many people have the sefer yet, I still take the liberty of sharing with you what's written in the sefer. So what I said today is Siman Aleph in Minchas Oshach Shemois. And in this Siman there's a lengthy discussion which we won't have time to discuss today. Well, Be'ezus Hashem, we should have many wonderful opportunities in the future. But I also included in Siman Aleph Minchas Oshach Shemois, it's not in the old edition, but it is in the new one, Shelo Shinu Et Livusham. Because throughout the ages, in many places and in many times, it was a decree against Jewish garb. Started off in Russia, then it happened in Poland, and in other countries of Eastern Europe. Some Gedolim said, Yehereg v'al yavor. Most notably, the Vilna Gaon in Lithuania and the Chiddush Arim in Poland. Others were lenient, and they paskened, go along. What I wrote in my sefer is somewhat of a compromise. And I wrote, if they want you to wear a strange non-Jewish hat, wear it. Non-Jewish shoes, wear it. As long as there is some siman heker in your levush. If your tzitzis are obvious, that is enough. And that still would be shelo shinus levusha. If you have any garment that shows your Jewish identity, you have a yarmulke on your head, that is enough. Shelo shinus levusha means if you entirely change your dress and a person looking at you would confuse you with a non-Jewish person, that would be the problem. And this is a halachic sentiment which is similar to what I did discuss at length in today's shiur about Shalishinu et Shema. So I find this a fascinating discussion. Yoisom mamashe korosi lefaneichem kosuv kan. And this simon in the new edition of Minchas Osher is a 10-page discussion, and I only shared with you part of it. So those of you that want to develop a deeper and broader understanding of the sugya, Minchas Osher, Madura, Tinyona, Semen Aleph. So in this week's parasha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Moshe Rabbeinu to be his shaliach and to turn to Bnei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, Moshe is deterred. He tries to get out of it, and he says, I'll come to the Jewish people and they'll ask me, who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's his name? What should I tell them? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Eheya Asher Eheya. Koy Seymer Bnei Yisrael Eheya Shluchani Aleichem. And this is one of the Shemus HaKadoshim that is found one time in the entire Tanakh. Toilet Levi and Viksud. It is the only Shem that we find only once. What is the meaning of this Shem? Different interpretations. Rashi, Ramban HaLatayra, Ramban Mure Nebuchim. Rashi actually defines Eya as a word. Eya imo en begolazu, kishem she Eya imo en begolias acheris. I will be with them in this golas, and I will be with them in all the future exiles. And Moshe Rabbeinu was shocked, and he says, why tell them that they're going to suffer again in the future? Isn't this enough pain? Why torment them and burden them with the knowledge that even after Geulas Mitzrayim, after the redemption, they will be going into Golas again? Why now? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right. So use my shame only once. Koisoyim Rebnei Yisrael, Eish Luchani Aleichem. Ey Muam, I will be with them, and I will bring them out of Mitzrayim, and they will be redeemed. That's Rashi. The Ramban brings an interpretation that it is Midah Keneged Midah. I will be with them like they will be with me. And the Ramban also quotes the Rambam Moreh Nevuchim, which is a profound pshat. According to the Rambam, this shem means, I shall be for I shall be. The most simple interpretation, translation of Eyashareh, which means, Anything that exists in the cosmos and beyond exists because someone decided it should exist. It exists because someone decided there's a reason for it to be. There is only one thing that exists because it exists. Not because someone decided it should exist. It exists because it is inconceivable and impossible. It should not exist. And that is Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. Ehye asher ehye. I shall be for I shall be. I shall be because I am. I shall be because it is impossible and inconceivable. I shall not be. And that is the message Kodesh Baruch Hu conveys to the people. You could rely on me. I am the only thing that shall ever be, that shall ever was, that could exist, whose word is 100% reliable and definitive. The Rashbam offers an amazing pshat, and for some reason he codes it Baloshan Adbash, and he writes Ein Megalan Ela Litznuim. I don't know what the Gevaldiga's secret is and why he saw it fitting to write and share this pshat in a code. But I'll share it with you because everybody could figure out Adbash. It's not that complicated. What the Rashbam says is Eyeh and Yihyeh are actually the same word. When a person speaks about himself, he says Ani Eyeh Sham, Ani Eyeh Gadol, Ani Eyeh Katan. When we speak about a third party, we say Hu Yeh Sham, Hu Yeh Gadol, Hu Yeh Katan. So Eyeh and Yihyeh are the same word. It depends whom are you referring to. And then the Rishbam says, Shem Havaya Yudke Vovke Leosed Leve will be Yudke Yudke. And that is separate sugya. So Shem Eheyeh is Shem Havaya. It's the same. We call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Havaya. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about himself, he says, my name is Aleph Hey and Yud Hey. It is only once in history that anybody dared to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's your name? Whoever asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's your name? It is only Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's Pasha that turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asks, will you please tell me what's your name? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eyeh Asher Eyeh. And that is actually Shem Havayah. So according to the Rashbam, the message HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Moshe Rabbeinu to convey is a message of Rachamim. Shem Havayah, as we all know, is the manifestation of ultimate Rachamei Shemayim. Elokim is Din and Havayah is Rachamim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveys the message, Kol Di'oved Rachman Aratav Oved, I am with you in your pain, in your suffering, in your golas, and I will bring an end to it. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes on to tell Moshe, Ko Yisrael Mele Bnei Yisrael Hashem Elokei Avisechem Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yankov Nirav Elai Zeh Shmi Li'olim Vezeh Zichri L'Dor Yedor. Ko Yisrael L'Zikrei Yisrael Hashem Elokei Avisechem Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Nirav Elai Le'emor Pukot Pekad El Yesov Sos Elchem Mimitzrayim Posik Tezvov and Tet Zayin. And there's a striking difference. Posik tezvov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyached shemu al kol echad men ha'oves b'fnei atzmo elokei Avraham elokei Yitzchak velokei Yankov. The next posik is elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yankov together. And why is that? Many years ago I said a pshat b'derech remez, b'derech pshat. It's not really pshat, b'derech drush and b'derech remez. Chazal tell a story, an amazing story in Bov Metzia Pehei. Elyon Novi used to come every day to the yeshiva of Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, to his chayil to learn. One day he didn't show up. Day later, when he comes, Rebbe asks him, where were you yesterday? I don't think any Rashiv and Yeshiva Gedolah today would dare to ask a bocha, where were you yesterday? Oh, he's going to get into trouble, that Rashiva. The boy just will turn around and ignore him, and he won't talk to him the next 6 months. He won't come to the shiurim. That's the spirit of our times. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was a different type of Rosh Hashiva. And he asks Eliyahu Hanavi, where were you yesterday? And Eliyahu has an alibi, he has an excuse. He says, well, I have a job up in the heavens. Every day in the morning I wake up, Avraham Avinu, I do Netilas Yadayim, I wash his hands, Negel Vasa, I set him up to daven. When he finishes davening, I put him back to sleep. I wake up Yitzchok, Netilas Yedaim, Tefillah, and the same with Yankov. Was it Rosh Chodesh yesterday? It's a long davening with Halal and Kriyas HaTorah, so couldn't make it to the yeshiva. Rabbi is insistent, and he asks Eliyahu HaNavi, why didn't you wake them all three up together, let them daven together, and you might make it in time to come to Kollel? And then Rabbi shares a secret. Eliyahu HaNavi shares a secret with the Rabbi, and he says, I don't have permission to let the three of them daven together, because when they will daven together, Mashiach will come. And the time has not yet come. So I can't set them up to daven together. When they will, that'll bring the Geula. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to bring the Geula yet. So these two psukim, Posik Tezvov refers to the Geula Shleima, B'mehera V'yameinu Zeh Shmili Olim V'zeh Zichri L'dor Dor. Regarding that Geula, it was Elakei Avrom L'chud, Elakei Yitzchak L'chud, and Elakei Yankov, each of them separate. Because we're not there yet. Posik Tezayin is Pokot Pekadat Yeschem V'sa'osi L'chem B'mitzrayim. Regarding this Geula, they daven together. And that is why Elakei Avrom, Yitzchak V'Yankov. So Kodesh Baruch Hu conveys to Moshe, this Geula is oisgepoilt, munach bekufse. The three of us daven together for Geulas Mitzrayim. And convey that message to Bnei Yisrael, you are redeemed. It'll take some time for the Eser Makos, but be confident, you are a redeemed people. Elokei Avrom, Yitzchak v'Yankov, convey this message. Pokut pekadat yeschem se'osel lechem imzayim. I don't know where Eliyahu HaNavi learns today, but I assume he still comes to the yeshiva. I don't think I saw him in my kollel. Wherever he learns, let us hope that Rosh Chodesh Shvat Tovshim Pei Gimel, he should be able to make it to the yeshiva. He should be able to make it to kollel. He should already be given permission to set the three of us up together. They should daven together and daven at once. And we should be zoicha to a geulas oilam b'mehero v'yomeinu. Amen.
Olam shalem shel tochen mechakeh lecha bekol halashon. 03-617-1111